That's a blessing. And the Lord is good to us. In Hebrews chapter 13, we're going to start reading in verse number 12. Hebrews chapter 13. Starting in verse number 12, the Bible says, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. Continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." Verse number 15, if we just read it again with me, the Bible says, "By him, therefore," that's by Christ, through Christ, "by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Through the Lord Jesus Christ, by him, through his blood, if you've been saved and born again, it's by him and through him, we can offer what the Bible calls the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Continuing. Now, I understand the mouthful that I speak when I say that, but it is by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. And that's praise is thankfulness. Praise is gratitude. Praise is to magnify and to lift up the Lord. And if we're going to praise and if we're going to lift up and magnify and be thankful and have gratitude in our hearts, that should be to the Lord. It should be to the Lord. And you and I need to be reminded that we need to give praise unto the Lord. And it says to offer the praise to God continually. Continually. And that does mean when the bills are paid and when the bills seem to be growing. That means when we're healthy, at least feel healthy. And that means when we might have poor health. That means when the marriage is going great or when it's one of those bumpy times. That means when the kids are doing right. See, I knew I'd work in the dailies there for you. So I worked it in for you. Good and the not so good, all right? When the kids are doing right, when the kids are wayward, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to praise. We're supposed to lift up our praise, the sacrifice of praise. We're to offer that sacrifice of praise to God continually. Listen, I think we as Christians sometimes, our joy that we have is the reason that we praise the Lord. When in reality, our praise unto God should be the sustaining factor of us being able to have joy in this life. Right. We should be able to praise God in all the circumstances and praise him for who he is and for what he does and how he handles things. And if we praise him constantly, man, our spirits will be lifted. Our spirits will be lifted thinking about the Lord. And listen, what you can't do, you can't thank God and complain at the same time. You can't do it. I mean, you might do it very closely connected. They might be back to back. I mean, you might be able to juggle that, but we can't thank God for his goodness and complain at the same time. We can't do it. And what should we do? We should just thank the Lord. We should praise the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 21 says, "He is thy praise, and he is thy God." And man, we should understand the Savior. And I don't think there's any visitors here this morning as I look out. And so amongst us, amongst friends, man, we have a lot of reasons to thank the Lord. We have a lot of reasons to praise the Lord. If you're saved and born again, listen, if you can't think of anything else to praise the Lord for and you're saved and born again, you can start there. You can start, man, if everything else is down and in the dumps and it's clouds and it's weight and it's burden, man, if you can't think of anything else, you can look up to heaven and say, thank you for saving me. Because, man, if the Lord takes us in the midst of the worst problems, man, we still go to heaven. Amen. You don't have to have all the problems of this world and die and go to hell. Because of the Lord Jesus Christ, thank God for what he's done for us. And boy, once you can just start tipping the scales of this sacrifice of praise, once you can just begin to let a few bits of thankfulness roll off your lips to the Lord, and then he starts to bring to mind all of his goodness. And you start to remember all of his goodness, and you start to think of the times. And man, you know what we can do? If you can't think of anything else to praise the Lord for, thank him for what you don't know about. The times he's kept you safe on the road, the times that he's kept you healthy, and the things that he's done. We're not going to know until we get to heaven to really understand what God has done for us and what he has done for us in this life. And we should make it a habit. We should make it a focal point of our days to be able to thank the Lord and to praise him continually. The Bible says it's the fruit of our lips giving thanks unto his name. And he hears that, and he's pleased with that, and he's deserving of it. And we should work on it. Turn to 2 Chronicles, back to the book of 2 Chronicles in the Old Testament. We're going to look at a Bible story here in 2 Chronicles. And we'll see what happens in this Bible story, and we'll kind of draw out some things for ourselves and circumstances we can find ourselves in and what we should do in those circumstances. And we'll be able to glean some things from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Before we get into it, let's go ahead and pray this morning and ask the Lord to bless the application of his word. Lord, thank you for your goodness to us, and thank you for your many mercies, your many kindnesses to us, Lord, your long-suffering and grace toward us. And Lord, I don't thank you enough, Lord, for your long-suffering. I don't thank you enough for who you are, and God, the attributes that make up your being. And Lord, I'm the beneficiary of that so often. And Lord, I thank you for that. Lord, I thank you for those that have come out this morning, and I pray that you'd bless. Lord, you bless the preaching of your word. You bless the preacher. You'd bless those that are listening. Lord, those that couldn't be here this morning and wanted to be here. Lord, I pray that you would bless them. You'd give them something extra, Lord. If they're able to log into the live stream, Lord, I pray that you'd speak to them through that screen and give them what they need even this morning. Lord, those that have made other choices, Lord, to not be here, let other things come in the way of that. Lord, I pray that you would, your Holy Spirit would maybe bother them a little bit because they've done that. Lord, that their priorities might not be exactly where they need to be. Lord, but then you'd be merciful to them as well, and you'd speak to them, Lord, and they would be thankful, Lord, and want to come to church and be a part of singing the songs of reverence and of thankfulness, and Lord, hearing the word of God preached. And Lord, thank you for the book that we have, and thank you, Lord, that you've given us a pure English version, Lord, that we can know it to be true, and we can bet our souls on it, Lord, and we can know that you've preserved your word for us, and that we can glean from it, and we can read it every day and have copies of it in our homes and in our cars, and Lord, all over the place. Lord, thank you for the freedoms we have to have your word. And Lord, I pray that you would increase and that I would decrease in the sight of your people, and we will leave here this morning, Lord, with praise on our lips for you. And Lord, just double checking the circumstances that might be in our life and how we should be handling those with our gratitude towards you. And we'll thank you for all things in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. Let's go ahead and start reading in verse number 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. In verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other beside the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle." Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah, so the southern tribes of Israel. "Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazion Tamar, which is in Gedi. That's south of Israel, south of Jerusalem, all right, down kind of by the Dead Sea, south. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. All right, so here's Jehoshaphat, and he hears this news that these armies are coming up against him, and a few nations have gathered together, and some others that aren't even mentioned, other beside the Ammonites. And they have gathered themselves together, and they're coming up to fight against Jehoshaphat and his people. And I'd like to say this, firstly, in this passage, is that there is a problem. There is a problem. Jehoshaphat has a problem. There's this thing that is in Jehoshaphat's life. He realizes this thing, and there is a real problem for Jehoshaphat. What is it? War. It's war. They're coming to kill him. They're coming after him, not just to negotiate. They're not coming to tell him the bad news that they've stopped trade rumors and all this kind of stuff. It's none of that. They're coming for war. There is a real problem. And where they are there in Gedi is about 25 miles south of Jerusalem. And they get the word and they say, hey, they're coming. And there's a multitude coming, and they're coming for battle, and they're coming for war. And there was a problem. There was a problem that that Jehoshaphat faced. And it wasn't just a light thing. And listen, I understand we can be in a day and age where, do you ever have problems and then maybe a little bit later in life, you have some real problems, and you look back and you go, man, what I thought about that was nothing. And I'm not talking about just making, a mountain out of a molehill. You've heard that comment. I'm not talking about making something big out of something that's small. And we can have a tendency to over-dramatize and, you know, some little inconvenient, man, we can take it to the Lord and just like it, Lord, I'm about to die. You know, every time we as men get a little sniffle, you know. At least that's the ladies' perception, you know. Yeah. We really know that we have been near death multiple times, all right. We know the reality of the situation. How could you possibly know how we feel? But we can go to the Lord with something is really when we kind of step back for the moment and say that was pretty insignificant, but we can take it to the Lord as a problem. But that's not what was happening here. Jehoshaphat had a real problem. And listen, in life, problems do come in life. And worries do come. And concerns and doubts and the unexpected, those do come in life. But I wish that once we got saved, we were just kind of isolated and insulated from all kinds of problems in life. But God never promised that. That's not what's in the scriptures. And listen, God uses those things in our life to teach us things that we would never otherwise learn. We would never otherwise bow our knee to the Lord in certain areas if God didn't bring things into our lives where we realized, man, we need him. Isn't that how it goes? When everything's going well, we think we got everything handled. Oh, it's our own intellect, and it's because we're so smart, and we're hardworking, and we're great Christians, and we have it figured out. And then the Lord brings the smallest things into our lives, and we realize, man, we're nothing. Amen. We're nothing. There was a problem, and what can we do? Well, we can worry. We can worry. We can fret. We can do that. We can be agitated in our minds. That's what fret means, to be agitated and to let it bother us. The Bible says Jehoshaphat in verse number 3, and Jehoshaphat feared. He feared. It's not a sin to be afraid. It's not a sin to kind of let the emotion of the moment and allow us to have a little bit of worry in our hearts. It's not a sin to wonder, oh, okay, I wonder what's going to happen in this situation. It's not a sin to do that. Why? Problems come. Problems come. And when problems come, we see our frailties. And we see, man, if I did everything I possibly could do, I have nothing. There is no way that I can get out of this situation or that I can remove this circumstance from me. There's no way to do that. We find out, how frail we are. Instead of how strong we are, we find out how weak we are. We find out how much we rely on the Lord, how much we should be relying on the Lord. When the smallest of things come about, there was certainly a problem, and sometimes problems arise in our lives. And Jehoshaphat feared, but what we can learn from this Jehoshaphat and his problems and when he feared is we can learn what he did after that. I'd like to say, secondly, not only was there a problem, but there was a prayer. There was a prayer. This is where Jehoshaphat had some things going for him. Now look in verse number 4, 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 4. The Bible says, "And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord." That's a good plan. That's a good plan. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, "O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary wherein for thy name, saying, If when evil come upon us as the sword, judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O Lord our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones and their wives and their children." There was a prayer. Jehoshaphat does the right thing. When he noticed and realized there was a problem, he did the right thing. The Bible doesn't say anything about him running to his generals and running to his military people and seeing, okay, how do we stand with our armies and where are we? And let's build up our defenses and let's bring everything back and let's send out the porters, and they can go and they can run and they can bring all of Judah together. And he doesn't say anything about that. It says here that Jehoshaphat, what's he do? He goes right to the Lord. He gathers everybody together and he says, we should pray about this. We need to pray about this. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7 says, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." Who better to take your problems to than the Lord? Man, stop telling everyone else about your issues. Take it to God. Take it to God. What's your coworker going to do? Other than think, man, it complains a lot. Let's take it to the Lord. If you have a complaint, if you have a problem, if there's an issue, if there's something going on, you know what we can do? Just take it straight to the throne room. Because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can go straight to the throne of God. And we can come in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. And we can say, Lord, there's a problem. There's a problem. And when you've had enough years on you, you can go to the Lord sometime and say, Lord, there's probably a problem around the corner and I don't know it's coming yet. Can you help me with that one too? There's two keys to the prayer. One of them is in verse number 7. You know what Jehoshaphat does? He starts to remind God of who he is. Not in a disrespectful way. These are rhetorical questions. Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants? I'm going to put some more syllables in that word. Of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever. Remember that, Lord? Remember who you are and what you did? And he goes on in verse number 6, he says, before that, O Lord God of fathers, art not thou God in heaven? You're the one, right? You're over all the heathen. You're over everybody. God, you are God. And you're our God. And you've made promises to us, and you've given us things in your word. That's you, Lord. Amen. He starts to lift up the Lord and remind God of who he is. And in verse number 12, he also reminds God of who we are. Amen. He reminds God of who he is and who they are. And that's what you and I should do. For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. Ever been there before? I think I live there. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Those are two good keys to prayer. Say, what should I pray to the Lord? Brag on him for a little bit. God, I know who you are. God, you're the savior of the universe. You're the creator of all things. You're the sustainer of my life and my breath. Lord, you are, without you, there is nothing. You're holding all things together with the power of your word. Remind him of who he is, and then remind him of who you are. He hasn't forgotten, but it's good to remind the Lord. And Lord, then there's me. Woe is me. Lord, what am I going to do? What am I going to do against this? How am I going to handle this? How am I going to change anything? Lord, what am I to do? Lord, my eyes are on you, Lord, because I need you now. Those are good prayers. Those are solid prayers. That's a good place for our heart to be. It's a testimony of prayer. And not only that, but in verse 13, they bring the little ones together. They bring their wives together and their children, and they all come together and present themselves before the Lord. And they say, Lord, we need you now. Amen. We need you now. And listen, sometimes we forget we need the Lord. Yeah. Okay. Say, Lord, I'm sorry I forgot. Yeah. I'm reminded now. And I should have remembered. But Lord, my heart's full of self sometimes and full of my own pride. And Lord, but I remember now. And Lord, I know who you are. And I see it again. I'm reminded of who I am. Amen. Not only was there a problem, but there was a prayer. And that's the right thing to do. Amen. That's the right thing to do. But not only was there a problem and a prayer, but chapter 20 and verse number 14, let's read a couple verses here. The Bible says, then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the house of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. You know what else there was? There was a promise. There was a promise. God, the Spirit of God, moves upon one of the Levites, and he's the son of, and the son of, and the son of, and the son of, and he moves on this Levite, and he stands up, and he says, thus saith the Lord, that here's what God has said. He says, the battle is not yours, but it's God's. And he says to Jehoshaphat, he says, fear not. Fear not. The Lord will stand and fight. And you won't even have to do anything. You just show up. You show up. You be faithful to do this little thing. What's this little thing? You stand up and you show up. And then watch God. Watch God do some things. There's a promise. There's a promise that means something to those that are crying out unto the Lord and have a real problem and
They're crying out unto God, and they're standing there with their children and their wives and their little ones, and they're standing before God, and there's a promise that comes off the lips of one of the Levites as he's moved by the Lord. And you know what it does? It means something. It reminds them of who's in control, and that's God. God's in control. I'm not here to say that every single time God answers a prayer or God sees something through, I'm not saying you're always going to agree with it. And you have every right to disagree with the Lord, but he's right. He does all things well. And I always pray this, Lord, where my will doesn't agree with yours, please give me grace. Please give me grace. I've been in places, I've been in situations, and me and the Lord were not agreeing. And I was letting him know about it. But you know, he was kind enough to let me know, hey, I know what I'm doing. All right, someday you'll see it. Lord, I can't see it your way. But there was a promise. Any promises in the Bible for a Christian? Any promises that you know of? Any promises you've needed to hold on to at some times in life? So I don't need them now. Well, hold on to them. Hold on to them. Keep them in the chamber. Keep them ready to go. Because there's going to be a time when you're going to need some promises. And you're going to think God is forgotten or forsaken. You're going to think that he's not listening or not paying attention. It's going to feel like all the world around you is darkness. Those times happen in life. And I wish they didn't. But they do. And there's some promises in the Word of God. And you're reading through your Bible. If you're faithfully reading as you should, you're going to come across some things and you're going to say, man. And you should write them down, or you should highlight them in your Bible, or underline them, or write them on an index card and keep them somewhere where you can have those promises. Because when it starts getting dark and you feel, where was that? Where was that verse? You have some way of accessing, you have some way of going back to those promises. Verses that you've known for years and years and years and had no meaning, you'll get to places in life and they'll have deep meaning. Deep meaning. Verses like, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. There'll be times when you'll need that verse. You'll need to hold on to that verse. It's a promise in the scriptures. And no matter what you feel like at the moment, you'll know that he in his word said, I will never leave thee. And I will never forsake thee. Verses like, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's a promise that God says. I know we get confused, our needs and our greeds. We get confused, our wants and the thing. Oh, Lord, I need it. And we read those other verses where Paul says, with food and raiment, let us therewith be content. And we go, ooh, I like that other one in Philippians about that meeting all our needs thing. But it's a promise of the scriptures. A promise in the scriptures that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There's going to be a time when the world and its strength and the devil and its influence seems like it's just has such a strong grip. And you're going to have to go to the Lord and say, Lord, you said in your word that you are much greater than this world and the powers and the prince of the powers of the air and the principalities and the spirit that now worketh. Lord, you're greater than those things. Keep your finger in 2 Chronicles 20. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want you to lay eyes on this one. All right, keeping your finger in 2 Chronicles 20, turn to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10. Look and start reading in verse 12. 1 Corinthians 10, start in verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed, lest he fall. Verse 13, look at this great promise in the scriptures. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. Amen. You know what? The Bible never says he's going to eliminate all temptation from you. All temptation to do the wrong thing, all temptation of sin. He never said that he was going to do away with all temptations. He said, here's what I'll promise. Every temptation you've had will be as common to every other man, and I will, with that temptation, make a way of escape. That you'll be able to bear the temptation. That's what it is. There's going to be temptations in this life. But God makes it so that you can bear those temptations and you can escape those temptations. You don't have to give in to the temptation and do wrong and sin against God. With those temptations, he's made a way of escape. What a promise in the scriptures. What a promise when temptation is there and sin rises its ugly head, or your own heart is getting some, your own flesh is getting some victory. You know what you can do? You can say, God, where is the way out? Where is the way of escape? I want to be able to bear it. I don't want to fall to the temptation. I don't want to let those things come out of my mouth. I want to control what's going into my ears. I want to control what's going on in front of my eyes. Lord, help me bear the temptation. My mind is going wild on me. Lord, please help me. My pride is lifted up and the flesh is strong. And Lord, I don't want to sin against you. We can say, Lord, show us the way of escape. Where is it, Lord? And he says he'll give it to us so we can bear it. We can bear the temptation. Promise in the scriptures says, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. What a promise. What a promise when the devil comes and sits on your shoulders and says, man, you're no good at this Christian thing, are you? And the devil says, I'm not even sure you are a Christian. There's no way that you can make the decisions you make. And the Lord still want to have something to do with you and give you eternal life. Oh, yeah, the devil will come and sit right on your shoulder. Whisper right in your ear. And the flesh will say, just give up. We want to do what we want to do. But you'll say, you know what? I'm trusting. I'm resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ. You know, we can say, devil, run along. Go bother somebody else, devil. Get off my back. Why? My faith is trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for my salvation and to keep me until that day of salvation and to complete the work that he's done in me. Until he comes back. There's some promises in the scriptures. You know what you and I can do? Man, we can hold on to those. We can allow those to give us rest in our souls. You know what they did with that promise in verse 20? Look down in 2 Chronicles 20. In verse number 20. The Bible says, and they rose early in the morning and went forth to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. You know what there was? And Jehoshaphat was cheering them on. There was a persuasion. There was a persuasion. They had to believe in the promises of God. It's easy to believe all the promises. It's easy when the sun's shining and, man, the breeze is blowing in your face and your belly's full. It's easy to say, I believe in God. I trust God. Man, my faith is strengthened and man, nothing could bring me down. And then the smallest thing, we trip and we find ourselves on our knees. And if we're wise, we stay there and we pray up into heaven and God reminds us of the scriptures. And man, if we could just show up and stand up and say, Lord, I believe you. My faith is sound in your word. There is a persuasion. You know why? Because up to this point, as we read a few more verses, they said God's going to bring the victory. You know what they were doing? They were marching towards the unknown. There was just one random guy that was standing up there saying, "Listen up, everybody. God will take care of us. This will be great. Just watch God bring the victory." But then they had to actually march toward the enemy. They had to show up to where the enemy was. And they were like, "Wow, hope that guy wasn't just really excited for no reason. Hope that Levite had a good night's sleep. And he wasn't just there saying stuff about the Lord." You know what? Sometimes it seems like the person standing behind this pulpit, me often, I'm just up there. What does he know about real trials and real troubles? What does he know about what I'm going through? What does he understand? He just comes down from his office and comes up here and says, "Hey, everybody, let's just praise the Lord. Everything's awesome." No, I just got my taxes back too, all right? And I have to pay more, all right? I'm the same thing, all right? Every year, they ruin it for the next year because I have my taxes done, right? And as a pastor, you got all these weird things going on. And so they tell you, here's what you have to do. Here's how much money you have to set aside quarterly because you have to pay all that to the government. They don't let you wait to the end and then be like, "Oh, man." No, you gotta dread it all year long as you set money aside to pay it. What does he know about this and what does he know about that? Maybe I don't know everything you're going through. Maybe I haven't been through every situation that you've been in, but I know this much: God is true. Amen. Let God be true and every man a liar. God is true. God is faithful. Amen. God gives me zero reason to have such little faith. And yet, boy, I can dwindle that faith down to nothing. But there was a persuasion. They believed. Romans chapter 4 and verse 21, talking about Abraham, he says, "And being fully persuaded that what he promised, he was able also to perform." That was Abraham. He was fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. Listen, social media and the news and the world, you know what it does? It steals your faith. It steals your faith. It's a thief. It's a thief. It just gives you all this information. It gives you all this worry. It gives you all this stuff. And you pay attention to this and pay attention to that. And you try to do this and try to do that. And you see this and you see that. You know what it does? It steals your faith. It steals your faith. Turn it off. Put it aside. Be ignorant. Let someone at the workplace say, "Oh, did you hear about this thing?" And be like, "I didn't even, nope. Didn't hear about it. Did you hear about the world's going to come to an end?" No, but that's the same thing they've been preaching for a long time. The world will come to an end when God says it's going to come to an end. And when it comes to an end, I'm going up. I'm going up. I have that promise of the scriptures. I'm going up with him. The Lord knows what's going on. I don't need to. Do you hear about this other thing? Do you hear about this sickness? Do you hear about this other thing? Man, and people love it. People love it. You know what you're addicted to? Being afraid. You're addicted to being fearful. And you're not doing it so you can have one more thing to pray about. "Oh, I'm afraid of that. Oh, good, I can pray. That's one more thing to add to the prayer list." No, you're doing it because there's something about it. There's something about it that your flesh loves to worry. I said it's not a sin to worry, but you better be taking that to the Lord. It's not a sin to have an initial reaction of being scared and being fearful and worrying, but you shouldn't live there. You should take that to God and relish in his promises and be persuaded that God is able to do what he said he would do. Stop living in fear. It just robs you of any peace that you can have in this life. This robs you of any joy that you can have in Jesus Christ. Listen, I'm not saying he's going to make all the problems go away. I'm not saying that because we have idiots in every place in government that we're not going to have more trouble. I'm not saying that because sin and wickedness is abounding more and more. I'm not saying that things are getting better. No, the progression of this world is, it's on a fast track to hell. And thank God for Jesus Christ. Thank God for the peace that we can have in His Word. Thank God for the promises that we can have. Thank God for those things that we can cling to and we can lean on. So, well, I don't know, the world's just getting worse and worse, and my kids, they just have to grow up in it. Man, point them to the Savior. Amen. Point them to the Word of God. And say, live for Christ and live for God, and it'll give you some purpose in this life. Yes. It's depressing if you dwell on it. Yes. Don't dwell on it. Amen. Dwell on God. Say, Lord, whatever you have coming, Lord, give me the wisdom to handle it, and let me go forward. Yeah. Let me go forward for you. There is a persuasion. His Word is true. And God does keep His Word. He does keep His Word. I want to show you this lastly. I want to show you this. It's the title of the message, actually, if you haven't filled that part in on the top of your paper. There was a problem. There was prayer. There was a promise. There was a persuasion. But you know what there was also, we find in the passage that you and I should emulate? There was praise. There was praise. Start reading in verse number 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. It's different now. They were standing before the Lord. They were praying unto God. They were asking for His help. And they were telling God who He really was and telling God who they really were and that they didn't know anything and they couldn't do anything. And there was a promise, and when they heard that promise and believed that promise, you know what they did? They fell before the Lord and they worshiped the Lord. And the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord, God of Israel, with a loud voice on high. That's where we say, you know what, sometimes in church when the things of this world have been forgotten for a little bit, we can sing the songs and we can hear the preaching and the Holy Spirit's able to stir our hearts and our minds and able to take some of the things of this life away from our thoughts for just a few moments. You know what we should do? Sometimes we should praise Him. The Bible says we can actually stand up and praise Him. That's why we stand up to sing. And then we can praise Him with a loud voice, with a loud voice on high. That doesn't mean when I'm up here preaching that you have to stand up and say, Hallelujah. But when we're already standing and when we're already singing, you know what we can do? When the song director says, hey, let's say Hallelujah, because it's right in the book for us. You know what we can do? We can lift up our voices unto the Lord. You know what we can do while we're singing? We can lift up our voices unto Him and give praise unto the Lord and praise Him. Why? Because things were real. It was a real problem. It was a real prayer. It was a real promise. It was a real faith in God and what He said. You know what they did? They praised. We read verse 20 where he says, believe and believe. Look at verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord. And that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord for His mercy endureth forever. Amen. All right, now what are we going to do here? What's the battle plan? Well, we have the promise of the Lord, so you know what we should do? No, I'm guessing, Jehoshaphat, I'm guessing that we should send out the mighty men first. They're the tough ones. They're not afraid. Put them out front and we'll scare them. And he says, you know what we should do instead? Let's put the singers in the front. I'm not saying there's not some singers that are tough, but I don't know. I've been one my whole life. You know what he says, you know what we're going to do? We're going to put the singers out front. And they're going to be praising the beauty of His holiness. They're going to be praising God. You know what we're going to do when we go into the battle, when we face the problem head on, because sometimes we have to? We're going to just praise the Lord. And we're going to go right at it. We're going to go right at it. We're going to go right at the problem with praise, Verse 22, and when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. I like how the Bible puts that. They helped each other kill each other. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies, fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Beraka, and there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place is called the Valley of Beraka unto this day. And they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. Say, what happened? Well, their faith was in God. And you know what they did? That they were making their way down. They were traveling south, making their way down to face the enemy. They were praising the Lord. They didn't know what was going to happen. This is before the battle. This is before they had any understanding of deliverance. They were praising the Lord. They were praising the Lord for his promises. They were praising the Lord as they were in the midst of the problem, right in the middle of it. They praise the Lord, and they get to a certain spot, and they go look down there, and they're like, wow, they're all dead. This big problem that we had isn't so much of a problem. In actuality, they were praising the Lord, and they came down, and you know what happened in the midst of all that problem that they had? They had blessing. They received spoil. They received of the Lord the riches and the jewels and everything that was once theirs, and they're all now dead. They received that to themselves. Listen, sometimes in a problem, God's going to do things in our lives, as I already mentioned. There's going to be benefits from the things that we don't want to deal with and that we don't want to go through. God's going to bring the gleanings from those things, and he's going to teach us, and we're going to grow, and our faith is going to be strengthened. Because next time, I'm not going to be as little faith as I was. With God's help, I'm going to strengthen my faith. I'm going to trust in the Lord. I'm going to see what he's done. There was praise. It was before the outcome. It was during the outcome. And it was after the outcome. They head back up into Jerusalem. And they're playing the instruments. And they're going back to the house of the Lord. They're coming back to say, thank God. It's good every once in a while. Maybe I don't do it enough, but it's good every once in a while to ask for the praises and the blessings. You know why? Because sometimes on a Thursday night or through the email, we ask for prayer requests. You know what's good to do sometimes is to come back to the house of the Lord and say, I want to praise the Lord for what he's done. I want to praise the Lord for the victories and for the things that God's moved and the things that I've learned and how God has been faithful and showed me things in his word and in my life. Psalm chapter 56, verse 3 and 4, it says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. It's to praise him in all things. There was praise. In all the rest, and during all the rest, there was praise. The sacrifice of our lips. Praise through the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise unto God. Anybody with any problems this morning? You don't have to raise your hand. Anybody going through a trial of your faith? Maybe this morning you're enjoying the abundant blessings of the Lord. I found myself there. The Lord's been good to me. And whether it's one or the other or in the middle or both, you know, there should be praise. There should be praise. We should be able to look up to the heavens and we should be able to say, thank you, Lord. You are good to me. You are good to me. And the world looks at that and says, how's that happening? But I thought they were going through some things. We say, yeah, but man, my God sure is good. And he sure is worthy of praise. And he's given me some promises that I can hold on to. And by faith, I believe in the word that he's given me. Instead of complaining, why don't you praise him? Instead of telling him again what your problem is, like he's forgotten, because you've already told him over and over, why don't you just take some time to praise him? And take some time to let him know what kind of a God he really is. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning.